Everyone, it is back to happy or to Tuesday morning, morning coffee with Dr. T. My name is Dr. Sherry Tedpenny, and I want to thank everyone who has joined me here and followed my team and kept all of this going over the last 4 months. And this is a time to get back in the saddle and start moving things forward. So I want to thank everyone who's joining us here today. Think of this morning coffee on Tuesday as a time to get together at a coffee shop, just have an open forum chat. Just to be able to answer some of your questions. And remember that I can't give you any personal medical advice. So if you've got personal questions, kind of make the questions generic so that I can kind of open them. So thank you, everybody, for being here. It's been an interesting 4 months. And everybody asks, how am I doing? How am I doing? How am I doing? Well, to be honest, I'm about 90% back to where I want to be. You know, I've still got some stamina issues and I've got a few other little physical things, but I've been traveling, I've been driving, I've got all kinds of things planned for this month. We've had several meetings about what we're going to do in 2024, some things that are going to be new and different. And we'll probably be by putting up some opinion polls and asking some people for some directions of the people that have followed us for all this time. So I want to thank everybody for being here. And, I really didn't have anything to start with that we wanted to talk about. It's been a while since I've had an open forum chat with everybody. So I thought that you may have some questions and places for us to start. Yes, that's Banff in the summertime. You know, it would be wintertime up there right now. So thank you for following all of the stuff that my wonderful, incredible, hardworking teams, and I say that plural because it's not only the people here with drtenpenny.com and with Learning for You, but I've got a whole team of people at Tenpenny Integrated Medical Center. We've got employees at the Tenpenny Health Restoration Center, the ECP Center in Cleveland, and also out in Ventura. And we've got just a lot of several people that have been volunteering to help. And so, you know, it's just been a, yes, Heather said it right. God's been really good. And I want to thank everybody personally for everybody that's lifted me up in prayer and kept me in your prayers all this time. Because I know that part of the reason that I've gotten better so fast is because my two angels, Tracy and Michelle Kay, who you'll be hearing from on Brighteon next week, dropped everything and came here for the first 2 weeks and got me on the right path. I've been working really hard with therapies and taking probably 8 or 9 supplements 4 times a day. So if any of you people complain about, I can't take all these pills, well, yes, you can. And it's a whole lot better to be proactive and doing things on the forward bound rather than trying to do things from recovery. And so, but I think most importantly, glory needs to go to God. I mean, for he has brought me back this far, this fast. And by the end of August, it will be as if this was just a lesson learning inconvenience. So I've had an opportunity to write a lot. You kept up with my Substacks. I really hope to expand the Substacks this year. We're going to be posting Morning Coffee with Dr. T and also the Brighteon Show as a podcast. This is one of the new things we're doing for 2024 in the podcast area on my Substack. So make sure you go to drtenpenny.substack.com. That's the Eye on the Evidence Substack that gets posted every Saturday. We're also going to start posting the morning coffees and the Brighteon shows there on Tuesday, one on Tuesday and one on Thursday. I'm hoping to expand the reach. I spent a lot of time researching and writing those articles. And if I do say so myself, I think they're really good. And so really good content. And, you know, it's like pushing things out there to people in a different way. And then on Walking with God that I do on Sunday morning, that's my time researching and writing. This week I wrote one about the implosion of the church, the implosion of the Catholic and Methodist churches. It's really pretty ugly. And then I got a special one for next week that's already written. I've put together an incredible spreadsheet For my teams, they laugh at me because they know how I do everything by spreadsheet. So it wouldn't be any surprise to any of you that I did a spreadsheet for all the activities that I need to do and all the meetings that I have to participate in, and moving the ball forward in several different directions at the same time, you know, so that way it keeps me on track, it keeps me focused. Because that's a thing that I have to work on yet. My functional MRI showed that focus needs a little of attention. So one of the messages I want to get start everybody here with this morning is sort of I was on Lee Merritt's call last night for just a few minutes. That she had everybody who's anybody on that call last night, and on that Zoom call, and they were all talking about their projections for 2024 in terms of politics and World Economic Forum and directed energy weapons and all that stuff. And so then when I got up and said, she said, "What do you want to talk about, Jerry?" And I said, "Everybody on this call is really important, and we need everybody here and everybody that's listening to this to be at the top of their game going through 2024 because they're going to pull out all stops. I mean, they're going to do everything they can to prevent us from having an election. They're going to continue to manipulate and mess with our food, water, air. They're doing all of those sorts of things. They've got, you know, we've got this pending foreboding World Health Organization treaty that's sitting out there. And we need everybody to be at the top of their game." And all of us have said, "Oh, health is so important. If you don't have your health, you have nothing." And it's such a trite saying that everybody says all the time. It's sort of like people say, "Hi, how are you?" I mean, that just is so annoying to me because people really don't. It's just something we've gotten into our vernacular, into our vocabulary. Nobody really means it. Nobody really means, "How are you?" Like, how are you really doing? It's just, "Hi, how are you?" It's just the opening statement that we've learned to say all the time. And so we talk about health being so important. But and I challenged all the listeners last night. I said, "How many people here that are on this panel, and how many people that are listening takes as good a care of your health as what you need to take care of?" You know that expression about if you are flying an airplane and you're 1 degree off of where your compass setting is, you know, in about 300 miles, you're going to end up over there. You're not even going to be close to the target. Well, how many things in your health, if you just pause for a second, could you just do this year? Like just 1%, one little thing, like consistently going to bed on time, consistently doing, you know, a minimum of 1,000 steps a day or 5,000 steps or whatever your goal is. Taking your vitamins consistently, taking gluten and dairy out permanently and really not cheating. I mean, what are the things that you can do that are so much that are just simple little things, not requiring a whole lot of money and a whole lot of time that will just change the course of your life? Because I can now say from personal experience, those little things that come up that you just kind of ignore. Like that extra 10 or 20 pounds that, oh, that's my baby weight, except your youngest child is 25 years old. I mean, you know, how long can you put that off? You know, oh, I only smoke a couple cigarettes a week. Well, all the carcinogens and things in there are pretty bad. You know, how many things do we skate on, you know, that we could really stop? You know, because it takes a whole lot less time, a whole lot less energy, and believe me, a whole lot less money to do what you need to do on the front end. Take your vitamins, get your blood tests. If you're local, go and get some ECP treatments and don't be going, "Oh, it costs too much money." Well, believe me, the amount of money that you invest in your health on the front end is minuscule compared to the amount of money it's going to cost you, literally cost you. And don't say, "Well, I've got really good insurance." Because you're still going to have to pay a 10 or a 20% deductible copay. So if it's a $100,000 procedure to put stents into your heart and you got to pay 20%, it's still going to be 20 grand. And it you could get an entire series of 35 ECP sessions for $5,000 and keep that from happening. You could spend $1,200 a year, meaning $100 a month, on your supplements. That 5,000 plus the 1,200, that's $6,200 on your health, and instead of spending a $20,000 copay to now treat your disease. So these are all things that probably a lot of you guys know. I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but let me just take a look at what's Cookie. I can't, when I keep my Zoom up here, I really can't read the questions. It's really too small.
So I can read questions to you if you want.
Yeah. Why don't you do that?
Okay. So question number one, Diane is asking, why is cortisol important?
Well, cortisol is a plus minus thing in your life. I mean, too much cortisol, it's highly inflammatory. And high levels of cortisol is what, you know, we call, you know, is it really contributes to belly fat. And so too high of cortisol is pro-inflammatory. It makes you gain weight. It keeps you awake at night. You know, if your cortisol level is really, really high when you go to bed, that shuts down your melatonin. So you can't sleep so well at night. So very high cortisol is not good. Very low cortisol is not good either, because cortisol also has to do, from your adrenals, it has to do with energy, has to do with metabolism. It's one of the primary hormones in your cascade that has to do with your reproductive hormones, like your estrogen and progesterone. So where you want your cortisol to be, you want it highest in the morning, and you want it to decrease over the course of the day and to be lowest at night. The gold standard for testing cortisol is not a blood test. It's a four-part saliva test. That's a gold standard, which you take four saliva samples over the course of the day. First thing in the morning, somewhere around noon, somewhere around dinner time, and then a fourth sample right before you go to bed. Because the shape of that graph, excuse me, is actually more important than even what the absolute values are. And then there's a lot of things that you can do to manipulate your cortisol, to increase it, to decrease it, to balance it. It has to do a lot with the foods that you eat. And so cortisol is it's a regulated hormone that's put out by your adrenal glands, that too much is not good and none is not good. And you want it to be in the shape of that graph, of that bar graph.
Ready for number two?
Yep. Oh, I got the hiccups.
Can shedding cause a stroke?
Probably. Probably can. It probably can cause all kinds of things. You know, we've had this big discussion about the, you know, the published paper now that's going to be published finally after 3 years of data collecting and analysis on my cycle story, that people who just being around people that got the jab, and particularly got two jabs, got the jab and the booster, which is really what perpetuates the system. And that within anywhere from 6 hours to 3 days after being around that, they started to have really irregular menstrual cycles. We had postmenopausal women that started to bleed. We had cycling women whose cycles went wonky and went all over the place, and sometimes became very heavy. You know, I think that if you end up with the spike protein in your system, and you know, I've watched this over the last 4 years now, a lot of disagreement, I guess I would say, between researchers on is messenger RNA there, is it not? Is DNA spikes, you know, there's a researcher that says that there's thousands and thousands of DNA spikes and that they get incorporated into our own DNA. And then there's other researchers that say there's no DNA, we couldn't find any. And I think the appropriate, correct answer for that is, there were several billion vials of COVID shots that were made by multiple different countries around the world with no standard of quality at all. I mean, Michael Yeadon talks about that all the time and has for this entire thing about that there really was no quality control on any of these. So that I believe that the correct answer is some of them were placebos. Some of them have a lot of messenger RNA in it. Some of them have more graphene oxide than others. Some probably don't have any. Some have a lot of DNA, some have medium amount of DNA, and some don't have any. And so I think the appropriate answer for all of these researchers, and I'm not doing the dark field microscopy, I'm not looking at all these analyses. I think that the appropriate answer is, and the correct answer is, this set of vials that I reviewed X number, whether it's 10 or 100 or whatever it is, in this set of vials, this is what I found. And not make a sweeping generalization that what you found in those vials applies to the 1 or 2 billion vials that they created across the globe. And so that's a long-winded answer that I've been wanting to say for a while, because it really is aggravating to me that a person will come out and say and dismiss this other person's research and say, "Well, I didn't find any of that." Well, perhaps you didn't in that set of vials that you evaluated, but that person's set of vials, maybe from a different company, maybe all sorts of different reasons of why, but that person's set of vials, they did find it. And it's one of the reasons why there are so many, that Pfizer document, the very first Pfizer document that came out in, I believe, 2021, that had over 1,200 different side effects and potential problems that the jabs could cause. I believe that the diversity of that and why there were so many depended on several things. Number one, the jab that you got, because I think there were a whole bunch of no quality control different shots that are out there. The second thing had to do with people's underlying comorbidities, whether you had hypertension, diabetes, obesity, on and on and on, which put you up at a greater risk for some sort of inflammatory reaction. The other thing is the number of doses you got, whether you got one shot or you got one shot and a booster, whether you got two shots and then a booster, or people that are continuing to get their boosters because heaven forbid that they would get a cold, which is what COVID is. So I think that that was intentional. I think that it was intentional to give us so much variety in the data points that independent researchers would have a hard time figuring it out. And if they created something that killed everybody on the first round, I mean, who would take a second round? So that's again, a long-winded way to answer, can shedding cause a stroke? A shedding can cause, depending on what is shed on you, depending on the dose of the person that you're around and the quantity that gets shed on you. It depends on whether or not you take ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or both chronically as a preventive, or use the nicotine patches as preventive. I mean, technically, could you get spike protein DNA into your system that could increase your coagulability and thicken your blood and cause a stroke? I believe strongly, based on the evidence, the answer to that is yes. I also believe that the answer to that could be no, depending on who you're around and what you got. So they have, their goal at the beginning of all this was to depopulate the planet by at least 50%. And I said back in 2021, I mean, the first round of Pfizer shots were released in December of 2020. And I've been saying since 2021, everybody's like, "Oh, I said it first." Well, who cares who said it first? If people had were saying it all along to try to warn the population, that sadly, I think they're gonna get pretty close to what they wanted. And people would say to me at the very beginning of the interviews that I did, "Okay, Dr. Tenpenny, when is all this death stuff gonna start?" I said, "Well, there's four forms of the problem." And we did that in the 40 mechanisms of injury that I showed people that number one is the people who died immediately. I mean, died on the table getting the shot or within the first, say, 48 hours of getting their first jab, they died of blood clots, heart attacks, strokes within a couple of weeks with myocarditis. The second thing is spike protein disease. Which is all kinds of blood clotting. It's the rubbery clots. It's the Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementias. It's the stuff that changes their brain. I mean, I laid that all out. And that was going to be somewhere, that was going to start somewhere between 3 and 5 years out. for when they release this. And that's what we're seeing now, this huge, big increase in the number of deaths. And I actually wrote about it more than once on my Substack saying, you know, people kind of want to tell you, guess what happened to so-and-so, as if it was a one-off, like it was such a rare and unusual thing. And sad, it's a one-off maybe to them in their personal circles, but it's not a one-off in terms of life. I mean, all the work that Ed Dodds has done, you know, with all, and you know, and that was in 21 and 22, and now we're into 24, and we're gonna this year, just mark my words, between all the people that were jabbed and the influence of the EMFs of around those people that were jabbed, the death rate is going to look like a hockey stick. This year, it's going to be bad. And I've had several people tell me that about halfway through 2024, one of two things is going to happen, or maybe both, that the sleeping masses that still can't connect the dots are going to wake up and get it, because the 100th monkey is going to show up and everything's going to flip and they're going to get it and go, oh my gosh, my mother, father, sibling, and spouse all died within 2 weeks of getting those jabs. I guess it was a jab. And they're going to come to a shocking realization and acceptance beyond their cognitive dissonance that they have right now. And there, one of two things are going to happen with that. Either people are going to get really angry, and we're going to see kind of widespread violence over that. I'm really surprised at this point. There still hasn't been some distraught parent, particularly a father, who figured it out that their child died because they were coerced into giving them the shot by a pediatrician, and they haven't gone in with a be like the McDonald's murderer. I'm kind of surprised that hasn't happened yet. Thankfully, thank God it hasn't. And maybe calmer minds have prevailed, but it wouldn't surprise me. So we're either going to have a whole bunch of really angry people coming to the forefront, or we're going to have universal mourning, or maybe both, that people in the US and around the world will get that they were lied to in the biggest possible way by people that they trusted, their physicians and their government, who lied to them and murdered them. And then we'll see what kind of reaction that turns out to be. So, gosh, I guess I rambled on for a long time about that. You know, but yes, I think that people can shed and get strokes. So, Cookie, next question.
Is vitamin D a mineral-based supplement, and is it okay to take when taking EDTA?
No, vitamin D is not a mineral-based supplement. Vitamin D, D, E, A, and K are all they're all fat-soluble supplements. So yes, you can take it. You know, I would say that most of the time, don't take it when you take the EDTA. If you're taking EDTA, it should be separate. And then, like, say, first thing in the morning. And then you can take all the rest of your supplements some other time during the day, sometime preferably in the early afternoon. But yes, you know, vitamin D is a fat soluble substance, and you absorb vitamin D better if you take it with food. And you should take the EDTA on an empty stomach. Next.
Next question. Would you know where a 6-month pregnant woman who is Rh negative can get her blood tested in order to determine if the baby is Rh negative so they can skip the Rhogam shot?
That's a good question. First of all, your doctor can do it. There are specialized tests that you need to do. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. I talked about it in the course, in the Rh negative course that we have in the library. Cookie, you can put up a link to that. That's a good course. It has a ton of information in it. Your doctor can order it. You know, better, I mean, make sure you know what your husband's Rh type is, or the baby's father's Rh type is, because if you're negative and the father is negative, you know the baby's going to be negative. That's just genetically how it works. If you're negative and the father's positive, you've got a 50-50 chance of whether or not the baby's going to be Rh negative. And, you know, they've, and I talk about this in the course that I did on Rogam. They, you know, they started, and I actually had a conversation with Jim Thorpe about this, Dr. Jim Thorpe, who's, you know, one, I think the most renowned, he and Chris Northrup are two of the most renowned OB-GYNs in this country, and I, probably Chris Biss I'd put in there too. But they, I asked him about when did they start giving Rogam at 27 weeks, along with when they gave the flu shot and the pertussis shot, and he said there was some evidence of this, what they call leakage. And I said, what are the numbers on that, Jim? It's sort of like we still give DPT because we have two cases of diphtheria a year in this country. I mean, what is the risk really that real? And he said it kind of depends on the comorbidities of the mother. If the mother's obese, if the mother smokes, if the mother takes any kind of street drugs, you know, it makes the placenta a little bit more friable, which means easily to break down. And if the mother's had the jab, I mean, all three of them have talked about the fact that, you know, if the mother's had the jab prior to getting pregnant or during pregnancy, that they don't even know how these fetuses come out alive because the placenta looks like a cobweb. It's so, you know, calcified and stringy. And so I ask him, do we really need to do the Rogam at 27 weeks? He said, I guess it's kind of a judgment call, and it kind of depends on, and like I said, the comorbidities of the mother. They're inside of that course, and I don't remember what it's called. It's been way too long since I actually put that course together. But there's a specialized test that you can get that would check the baby. But also, and the other thing I wanted to say is that when I was in medical school, they only gave the Rogam shot after birth. So you had the baby, and then you got Rogam anywhere from immediately after birth, after you expelled the baby, immediate after birth, or up to, I believe, was 18 hours or so later. It wasn't like you needed to do it in that second. So there is a little bit of time there too, after the baby's born, of checking the baby's blood type, which they do when they do a heel stick, and they do all those tests anyways. So you have some time. It's not like you have to do it like within minutes. And the other thing is that you only have to get the Rogam shot if you're wanting to have more children. You know, like people said, I've had four, I don't want any more. Well, then you don't need to do that. But if you want to have more children, you definitely need to do it. It's really an important part of protecting that next child from when you get pregnant. Is there another one, Cookie?
Yes. Is it safe to take ivermectin frequently when traveling away from home?
I'd say yes. I think it's one of the safest drugs ever. I personally, ever since COVID began, I take ivermectin twice a week. If I'm traveling, if I'm going to be on an airplane, I take it every day until I get home. You know, I've started carrying around my hydroxychloroquine because I was in Florida in February for a couple of weeks. I had a wonderful gift from a friend that had a condo she wasn't using, and so she allowed me to stay there for 2 weeks in December. I was there from the 5th to the 21st. Out of those 15 days that I was there, I had 2 days of sunshine, two. And the rest of the time it was windy, overcast, rainy, and kind of cold. The really good thing about it, I mean, I did the same thing sitting down there as I would have if I was home, except that every morning, little Tegan and I went for a walk on the beach. And so that helped to start to rec my recovery in terms of building my stamina. And Tegan loved it too. He did. He was such a good little boy. Yes, it was. It was just like Ohio. I mean, the weather that we've had here in the last couple of weeks in Ohio was just like it was when I was in Florida. And so, you know, when I travel, I take it every day. when I was down there, what I started to say is when I was down there, I went to a friend's house the second night I was there, and we had a little campfire on the beach, and the wind changed and just started blowing the smoke at me. Oh, and I just couldn't get away from it fast enough, and it went on for quite a little while. And the next morning, I woke up with a terrible sore throat, and I just thought it was just the smoke, but it lasted for 2 weeks, and then another, and then I really didn't have anything with me while I was traveling. And I still had this cough and kind of a postnasal drip. I didn't feel bad, but it just really wouldn't, the postnasal drip and the cough just wouldn't go away until I took hydroxychloroquine. And when I started taking, I took the protocol where you do hydroxychloroquine, you take 200 milligram tablets. You take two in the morning and two at night for 4 days. Then you take one in the morning and one at night for 4 days, and it finally went away. It didn't go away with the ivermectin, and I use, so I've always said for a long time now, like a couple years, that ivermectin is good for prevention, for prophylactic, and it works for a whole bunch of viruses, not just COVID, not just SARS-CoV-2. And that hydroxychloroquine and whatever the properties are inside of that medication works better for treatment. So again, that's a long-winded way of saying, yes, you can take it when you travel. I always take it when I've taken it for 4 years when I travel, and I take it every Sunday and every Thursday. I take a pill on Sunday and Thursday. Just and then, in the middle of all of this recovery process, I was having at the first couple of months, I was having a lot of problems with my blood pressure. I just couldn't get it stabilized, and I'd had a consult with Dr. Peter McCullough and then my personal physician, and it just was labile. It was just kind of like all over the place. And one Saturday morning, this would have been in November sometime, maybe, yeah, I think in November, a little bit before that, I had gone to the bank because I needed to do some business there. And so I'd gone to the bank, and I was in there. I don't know. I waited for a while, and then I got to see my banker, and then I left. I was there maybe an hour and a half. And on the drive home, I just suddenly felt horrible. I mean, just the worst I had felt in 2 months. I just felt sick to my stomach and kind of weak and extremely fatigued. And I sat down and I took my blood pressure, and it was really high. For no apparent reason. I mean, I hadn't done anything, so it wasn't anything stressful. And it was, the bank is 10 minutes from my house. I mean, it was not anything like that. And I didn't even drive. Somebody was with me. And I just felt horrible. And so I contacted Brian Artis, Dr. Artis, and I said, what is the thing, what is the thing about these patches? So I got one of those, some of those nicotine patches. I got 21 milligram patch. And I cut it into thirds because his protocol and the paper that he talked about called for a 7 milligram dose. And I peeled the thing. I peeled when I got home, I peeled the thing off and I plopped it on my side. And I'm within 10 minutes, I felt like a brand new person. I mean, my blood pressure had come down, it stabilized. Oh, the fatigue was gone. I just felt normal. I mean, I felt so much better. And so I texted Brian and I said, does this stuff work that fast? I mean, really, does it work that fast? He goes, yeah, it does. And it stays in your system for a couple of hours. And, we went back and forth and talked about a lot of different things. And so I used the patch. I used 3.5 milligrams. So you take the cut it into thirds and then cut those thirds into halves. And I use that for kind of prevention. I use it for when I'm out and about, or if I'm going to go to the grocery store, or I'm going to be at places, I'm going to go over to my office, I'm going to be in places where I'm probably going to be around jab people. I don't know if they recently got jabbed or 3 years ago got jabbed. And I don't know if 3 years ago, if they're still shedding or not. We don't know that. And so I just do these things to kind of protect myself. And I suggest that's something that you could do too. The nicotine patches are no-brainers. And if you, they come in boxes of 30. And if you cut the 30 into thirds, that's 90 days. And then if you cut them in half again, I mean, that's like a, half a 6 month supply for, I don't know, $20 or something like that. So, and then the ivermectin, I think, is really important.
I
Anything
have a
else, Cookie?
two-part, yeah, I have a two-part question if you want to answer it. They're asking, are there any studies yet on monoclonal antibody shots that were offered for free at the state level until the government shut the program down? And along with that, is anyone studying those that were not jabbed, but when got COVID, took the monoclonal antibody shots?
I'll answer that second part first. Nobody's doing any studies on anything that people did prevention. I mean, not that I'm aware of. I mean, and I don't read every single publication that's out there, but I mean, I kind of follow Peter McCullough because he's kind of a research junkie, and he's always reading all these papers, and so and he sort of like dissects them and breaks it down for you, so it makes it a little bit faster. But nobody's doing anything with the monoclonal antibodies anymore. And the first part of that question, way back when they started using the monoclonal antibodies, I'm going to say it was somewhere in, I don't know, the middle of 2021. You know, Richard Bartlett became a big fan of monoclonal antibodies and all that stuff. And there were five studies that I found at that time that I put into a PDF file. Maybe Cookie, we can figure out a way to post this, if or we can send it to the person who wants it. And I put together a PDF. I put it into a PowerPoint and then compressed it into a PDF file. It was called The Case Against Monoclonal Antibodies, and it talked about the cross reactivities, and you know, we've got all these antibodies that are being made by this whatever virus that we had or whatever it was that was making us sick. And they cross react with 55 different tissue types. Why would you take an injection of that? So I don't know if people are getting sick now with various kidney problems, brain trout problems, whatever, that got the monoclonal antibodies. Could it be attributed to that? Maybe, but they don't stay in your system for a long period of time. We don't think, we don't even really know. I mean, I don't really know. There's so much we don't know because people aren't doing the research on questions like that, but they should be. They're looking for the next drug to treat whatever problem came from getting the jab. So nobody really knows. So I mean, Cookie, I can send you, remind me to send you that PDF file. It's not very long. It's maybe six slides on the case against monoclonal antibodies.
I'll remind
Next.
you.
Okay, thanks, Heather. Next question.
Do you have recommendations on how to go about finding the right doctor to help monitor someone that's on supplements?
Oh, that's a good question. Monitor someone that's on supplements. Well, if you're anywhere close to Cleveland, I would advocate for our clinic, Tenpenny Integrated Medical Center, which is in Middlebury Heights. You know, Dr. Clapper is our main doctor there. We've got another doctor, Dr. Farr, Adrienne Farr. She's a DO. She's actually starting in our clinic on Thursday, so she's just starting this week. She does integrative medicine. Then we've got Carla and Sandy, my two physician's assistants, and then we do a blood test that actually monitors the level of the vitamins that you take, and it monitors it from three different perspectives, from red blood cells, white blood cells, and then in the serum. So I would put in a big plug for Tenpenny Integrated Medical Center. And I want to put a quote. I think you guys have already done this, but I'll do a little bit more. There's a lot of rumors going on, and I don't know if it's in Northeast Ohio or if it's nationwide. I'm not sure where this started or who's propagating it. But there's a lot of people who, because the state medical board has still suspended my license, which, by the way, we are in the process starting this month of retaliation against them. So if anybody wants to continue to donate to my legal defense fund, there's a link to that that's on the website. And all of that money goes to my lawyers. None of if anything. I mean, we had a nice amount of money that was donated early on when they first suspended my license, and we've burned through that. And you know, if anybody wants to continue to help to support it, because we are really, it's at drtenpenny.com/defenddrt. drtenpenny.com/defenddrt. For those that are listening audibly on the radio, it's a DR, no period, Tenpenny, TENPENNY.com/defenddrt. Defend DRT. If you want to continue to support that in terms of what we're trying to do, we've got a great strategy, a really good strategy. But the rumor I was referring to was people were saying that, oh, my license had been revoked. It has not been revoked. There's a difference between suspension and being revoked. Suspending means you can't see patients and you can't write prescriptions until we tell you that you can. Revoked means that those privileges are taken away permanently and you can't get them back. So we've got a great strategy that we're working on right now as we speak. And so helping to support that is really a good idea. But the rumor was that because my license has been suspended and I'm not there, and then I had this stroke thing that I was not anywhere for 4 months, that my clinic had closed, which was another way to harm me. That was another way to harm me financially, was to say that my clinic was closed. It's not closed. It's never been closed. We have doctors there, physician's assistants. We have RNs. We have all kinds of, we have a big staff that's there. We also have the Tenpenny ECP, here in Cleveland that's open. In fact, this Friday, we have another open house. It's from 1 to 3 o'clock. So if you're in the Cleveland area or in the greater Northeast Ohio area, please come see what ECP is all about. Meet the staff, see the beds, see what we're actually doing there. And we have some really special prizes and special deals that for people that come, for people who are actually there at the clinic. We have a First Friday event that's in Ventura every Friday, that Autumn has an open house there. And we also are have a little package so people can try it out. It's called a BOGO package, that you can buy one a session and get a second session free for just $99, which is unbelievable because sessions are generally about $150 each. So you can get two for 99 instead of one for 150. So please come this Friday. Please come to our open house. Michelle's going to be there and Diane's going to be there. So you get to meet them in person. So they're coming, they're driving down from Canada, and Arillis will be there and I'll be there. And I'll get to answer your questions. You get to see what ECP is all about. And if you're there, we're going to have some drawings and some giveaways and stuff like that, but only for people that actually attend. So it's going to be kind of a very cool thing to do. We're going to have a big open house, big event in March. If you're in California and you're listening to this, Autumn's location in Ventura, she's doing a lot of great things there. And that website, it's ecpstudio.com, has great testimonials and great articles I've written. In Ohio, we've got a lot of, it's a ten, t, tenpenny, tenpennyecp.com. It's a different website. I think those are going to be combined later this year. We'll see how that kind of works. But please come. Please come and see what it's all about. And see people at Tenpenny Integrated Medical Center. It's open. It has been open the entire time. We're still, writing prescriptions for ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. We can monitor your vitamins, which was the initial question, with blood tests that we actually do. We've got a lot of really cool services we do there. If you're not in the greater Ohio area, A4M, the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, and also the Institute for Functional Medicine. A4M and IFM, Institute for Functional Medicine. You can go to their websites. I believe they have practitioner locators that you can find somebody, like you put in your, like within 25 miles or 50 miles or whatever, and you can find somebody in your area to take care of you. Okay. Next
Want to go
question.
for one more?
Yeah, let's do one more and then we'll wrap up for today.
Okay, these two kind of tie in together, so I'll give them to you together. Do you know if ashwagandha is good for stress management, increasing calm and balance, and non-reactivity to all the sensory noise in our culture? And with that,
What are your top three supplements that you would recommend for everyone?
The first part of that, I can't answer that because I don't know the answer to that. I think of ashwagandha as being more about calming mood and calming down your and being a tonic for your heart. It's really good for your heart and things like that. I don't know about the rest of that, if ashwagandha would apply to that or not. The top three supplements, that's a really good question. Let me think about that for just a second. Just for general wellness, I think a good quality multivitamin is important for everybody. And whether that's a multivitamin, like we have several that I think are really, really good in our store, good quality multivitamins. It's really difficult to find a one a day multivitamin that has a high enough concentrations of anything to be of value. Because I remember reading years and years ago that if you had everything in that you really needed in a one a day, one vitamin, it would be about the size of a golf ball. So most of the time, it's anywhere from two to six pills you take per day for the multivitamin. But a good quality multivitamin that has a minimum of 50 milligrams on each one of your Bs, 5 to 10 is standard, 25 is okay, but 50 is better. It has adequate amounts of vitamin C. I mean, the multivitamin we have in the store, I think that by pure encapsulations is really good. Every year that I've tried to replace it and I look at all the different vitamins that are out there, I don't find any as good as that. And if I remember right, it's three pills a day. So you can take, and the best way to take your multivitamin is with food and spread out over the day. So you could take one with breakfast, lunch. I would say two with breakfast and one with lunch. Not take it at dinner time because of the B vitamins might disrupt your sleep. It does for some people and not for others. So yes, that's it. Pure Encapsulations is my favorite multivitamin. So I think everybody needs a good multivitamin because our foods and everything are so depleted. And I just wrote a fairly sizable paper. I think we're going to turn into an ebook. I don't know. We're still talking about it. It was 55 pages long. I spent a lot of time doing the research on the genetically modified foods that they've approved 14 of them. And one of the things that I learned that maybe you guys know this, I didn't know this, that if something is labeled organic, just organic, it can have up to 30% of non-organic ingredients in it. And if it's labeled 100% organic, it has to be 100% organic. They can't slide in any of these other things. So when you're shopping, keep that in mind. And now this new thing that just went into place in January of this year is this whole thing about bioengineered ingredients. And so you'll see a lot of things if you buy in a box or buy in a can. If you read the label, it'll say contains bioengineered ingredients. It really doesn't mean GMO. It's much a whole much bro a lot broader than that. And GMO, if once you read this paper, you'll understand that that's something that we've learned to use in the just general conversations. But there's a whole big difference between genetically engineered and genetically modified. And, GMO is the outcome of the procedure. It's not the procedure. And so there's a lot to it. In fact, at the end of this month, one of my Substacks is I've extracted some of the material that I wrote in that long paper and put it on my Substack. So please, please, please subscribe to my Substacks. I mean, they're free. If you make it, it says in there, if you become a member, really what you're doing as a member is you're just financially supporting the work that we do. That's what that's really happening. We're still trying to figure some of that out. But become a supporting member is to support me and the work that I do and my team does. But they're available for free. And at one point I was kind of putting a paywall in there, and I don't like those paywall ideas for several reasons. But most importantly, I spend an awful lot of time writing them and researching them. I want people to read them. I don't want to like block it off so people can't read it. So anyways, such I digress. So pure encapsulation's a multivitamin. That would be the number one thing because our food is so crappy. It's just a real problem. I think that's really, really important. A good quality multivitamin. I think something that has to do with omega-3s is really a standard for everybody because and whether you get it through black currant oil, the omega-3 that I've been taking right now is it's from New Zealand. It's beef tallow, and I'm taking six of those a day because every fish oil I've ever gotten, I just burp it, and I just don't like it. So that and black currant oil both have a lot of omega-3s in it. So I think a good quality multivitamins for everybody, an omega-3, and whatever omega-3s that you're taking, it needs to be about 3,000 milligrams a day in combination. Our one that we have, the omega-3 that we have in our store, is really good too. And if you're burping, I mean, one of the things I'm doing is I'm cleaning up my kitchen cupboard that has all these vitamins in it. So I'm just sort of like taking stuff and peeling down. And so if you tend to burp the fish oil, there's two things you can do. One is you can take it in the middle of a meal. So you've got food, fish oil, food. That tends to cut down that burping thing. And you can also take it at the same time with a digestive enzyme. Because if you take it at the same time as the digestive enzyme, they're both dissolving together, and the digestive enzyme will break down the fishy stuff that's in there. And the other reason that I really like our essential fatty acids, I know that that particular brand is one of the fastest to market, which means from the time that the sardines are caught, they go through the processing plant, the oil is made, it gets shipped to the place to put it into the pills, is one of the shortest periods of time. And sometimes the burpy stuff that you have with it is because it's kind of rancid. It's taken months to go from ocean to pill. And so get a better quality omega-3. Remember, all of these things are food. I mean, if you're gonna buy expensive organic food, why would you buy cheap, nonsensical vitamins? Just to be able to say that you're taking something. Get the best that you can afford. It's really important. So I think an omega-3, a multivitamin, and probably a vitamin D. Now I know there's some level of controversy out there. Now, if your multivitamin has at least 5,000 IUs of vitamin D in it, you probably don't need extra. But vitamin D is so important for so many different things. And it's a pro-hormone. It helps to balance your hormones. It helps to balance a lot of different things. Now, I could go on and name a whole bunch of things, but I think a multivitamin and omega-3, kind of standard for everybody. And then natokinase, I think, is really super important these days. Natokinase, because it really does thin your blood. I cut my finger yesterday, 2 days ago. I was chopping up vegetables to make some vegetables in the oven to bake make some baked vegetables, and I cut my finger. And I not only am I taking high doses of omega-3s, but I'm also taking natokinase, and it bled like a stuck pig. It bled and bled and bled and bled and bled. I got out of the shower this morning, it was still bleeding, and that was 3 days ago. So, anyways, natokinase I think is really super important right now because all the stuff that's happening with the jab. Peter McCullough has made a big case for that natokinase breaks down the spike protein. I think natokinase breaks down a lot of proteins in your blood that you don't really need to have there. So maybe instead of the vitamin D, if your multivitamin has a lot of vitamin D, to add the natokinase, and that should be about 200 milligrams a day. Best time to take natokinase is at bedtime. Best time to take omega-3s is in the middle of your is during a meal. And the best time to take your multivitamin is spread out over the course of the day. We actually have natokinase in the store. It's OptiNanokinase. Somebody had asked me yesterday about EDTA, And we do have EDTA in the store now. I had to add it to the store. EDTA has been shown and been published to break down the nanobots that they are in the jab. I really don't know how much you have to take to make that difference, but if you've had the jab or you know somebody that has, EDTA also gets rid of a lot of the extra metals in your body, like aluminum and mercury and cadmium and things like that. The reason that you take that separate and apart from a mineral, your multivitamin and a mineral supplement, is because the EDTA will grab hold of like the calcium and magnesium and zinc and things like that. And you don't want it. You want the EDTA to do something different. Oh, and then the other thing that I would add that I think is super important for everyone, now that we're talking about toxicities, is Pure Body Extra, the zeolite spray. So the zeolite spray is, it works differently than zeolite does. The EDTA breaks down the nanobots. The zeolite grabs hold of bad minerals. So multivitamin, omega-3, natokinase, and zeolite. And if you're, this is the first of the year, and if you're trying to lose weight and balance out your blood sugars, you know that glucose control stuff really works. It really takes away your munchies. It really makes you not, it really takes away cravings. And last night on our Brighteon show, we did a rerun that Michelle did with Savannah, that one of our really good friends over at Touchstone, about glucose control, how it works. It was really good. I mean, I listened to it again. I'd heard it previously, and we're going to post it this week inside of the, you can find it on Brighteon, which is, I find it a little challenging to find episodes over there, but you can find it there. But we're going to start posting the Brighteon show on Thursdays on the drtenpenny.substack.com site. So there'll be an easier way for you to find that really good information. And next Monday night, I start doing interviews there again. So today was like my first day back to, you know, the me doing this going forward. Tonight, we're going to have Happy Hour with Dr. T as a rerun. And then next week, we start with Happy Hour with Dr. T with me doing interviews again. On Happy Hour with Dr. T on Thursday night, it's going to be with only me for every other month. And then we have a series that's coming up starting in February with Dr. Justin Prock on Bible eschatology that's going to blow your mind. And the stuff that, because I did the interviews with him already, because he lives in South Korea. So we had to find a time that we could pre-record the interviews so that we could get them into post-production and then have them posted each for a four-week series in February. So mark your calendars. You don't want to miss that because it's going to be really, really good. Really good. And then we got critically thinking on Thursday night, and we have a meeting today to schedule to talk about, we're going to do another 5-doc boot camp. Won't that be fun? And we're going to do a Twitter space, topic related Twitter space once a month, starting, we haven't decided yet if it's going to be the last Wednesday night of the month or the first Wednesday night of the month, but that's going to start at the end of February, first part of March. So we really have a lot going on, a lot of things to be able to get great information out to you. So if you guys could really like and share this and broaden our audience, that would be really super great. So again,
Dr.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just to, before we close, two notes that I'm getting questions on. So the Rogam course is in Learning for You. There's actually a short link for it. It's a bit.ly link. That's bit.ly with a B. It's bit.ly/course RG, bit.ly/course RG. And then the glucose control, you can also get it. It's also a bit.ly link. That's bit.ly/glucose10, GLUCO10. And that's all I have.
And the reason that it's a 10 is that for the next several weeks, I think it's for the rest of this month, actually, you can get your first bottle for $10. I mean, wow. I mean, this is like you can't get a deal better than that. So make sure you take advantage of it. Sign up for the auto ship so you can get the discounts. You can stop the auto ship anytime, but really kind of go forward with that. That glucose 10, you know, if you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to get your diet back under control or whatever, that's really going to help. And then that the the Learning for You site. Cookie and Heather have done an incredible, incredible job of reorganizing it, bringing it up to date, making it easier to find things. So if you haven't been out to learningforyou.org, learning the number four, Y-O-U, learningforyou.org, and taking a look at what we've done out there. And we've got Dr. Merritt's courses out there, and we've got Parasite courses out there. There's a bunch of stuff that we're going to be expanding that out this year. Go and take a look at it. And please sign up for our newsletter. I mean, we send out three newsletters a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday sort of tells you what's happening this week. Wednesday has a lot of educational material. And Friday is our Friday favorites. That is the summary for the week. Also has really special deals in terms of supplements and things like that. Do me a favor. Sign up for that email. And then even if you don't buy anything, if it's, you know, it's a way for us to promote, yes, because we've got to make money to pay our bills, and we've got a lot of them. Even if you don't buy anything, look at that Friday favorites and look at those incredible designs that Diane has put together and everything that Amanda does and Jackie writes and things like that. Please just take a look at it. So anyways, this was our first morning coffee together back after the first of the year. We're going to start. We'll do this every Tuesday morning, except when I'm out of town, which will be at the end of the month. And then, you know, the team will carry on those 2 weeks until I get back. So anyways, I want to say thank you so much for joining me this morning. You know, all of my broadcasts, I really want to thank everybody for being here. We talked about the 7 broadcasts per week that we're doing this week with Dr. T, deep dive with Dr. T, only for our premium podcast members, the Brighteon show that's on Monday. On Tuesday, it's morning coffee, and then happy hour with Dr. T. And then Thursday is critically thinking, and another happy hour with Dr. T. So those are our weekly things. And I want to say that I try to always close out all my broadcasts, whether pre-recorded or live, with one of my favorite verses from the Bible, which is Romans 12:12. You guys should probably all know this verse by now. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, because believe me, trouble will come, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, thank you, Cookie. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for Amanda and Patricia, for my whole team, Diane, all the things that you've done, Solon, everybody that has worked so hard to put all these different things together. Thank you for my TIMC, my ECP studio team. Thanks to all of them. And most importantly, thank you to all of my listeners and followers. And thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your support, and thank you for your financial support. And so until the next time, remember to lean into God, trust Him for everything. He will never let you down. Thank you so much for everything, and have a great week, and God bless. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our OptiLine, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries, and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store. Gold and silver always has value. It never goes to zero. And it's a great place to store your wealth. It's a great place to have it for inheritance, for your children, for your grandchildren. And when you can actually get the coins itself, when you can actually do that, you can actually even have a coin collection. I think that some of the older Walking Liberty silver dollars are just amazing, that come from the early 1900s. And I think that everybody should have some of those, not only for history, but as a place to protect your wealth, protect your money going forward. It never goes to zero. Like our paper fiat money with hyperinflation and the things that we may be seeing in the future, our dollar could literally go to zero. It could be worth nothing. You might even not even be able to barter with it, but you will always have value in gold and silver. You'll always be able to eat with it. You'll be able to trade with it. And it's a great place to store your wealth. Particular company that we work with, because we really, again, trust their product. We believe that this company has a high level of integrity, and they are great with customer service. To learn more, go to bit.ly/goldsilverdrt. That's bit.ly/goldsilverdrt.